We're going to begin in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and get your pencils ready if you are a note taker, because there are lots of scriptures today, it'll be in the beginning here and also throughout the sermon as well. So John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It's all on the screen as well for you. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Father, thank You for Your light, and thank You for Your life, and thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the Word of God that comes through this printed page. Thank You for the living Word that comes through Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that that living Word be seen today as we look into Your Scriptures, as we look into what You have given me to say today. May I decrease, but You increase. And may Jesus Christ go before this message in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to also read to you from 1 John chapter 1. It's interesting. The Bible, John actually, I believe, took a theme from Genesis about in the beginning, and he wrote it in both John and in 1 John. And when he wrote it, it's in 1 John chapter, or in John chapter 1, verse the first five verses. In 1 John chapter 1, the first five verses, he took from Genesis chapter 1, the first five verses. Anyhow, that does come down to how they split it up, but it just was interesting when I came through it. So we are going to read 1 John chapter 1, 1-5. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the Word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have already actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. And then in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1-5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. I'm going to warn you ahead of time that the next few sermons, probably at least two, if not more, are going to be from this passage of Scripture that we have read, John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, and then Genesis chapter 1. Just because of how God has been laying it on my heart. But today we're going to talk about in the beginning. Because in the beginning, God was. In the beginning, God spoke. And in the beginning, God created. So first of all, let's look at God was. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. That's how it says it. In the beginning, God. He was there. John 1:1, in the beginning, the Word was God. And the Word was with God. 1 John 1:1, the one who was from the beginning. God was, God is to come. He will forever will be. Revelations chapter 1:8 says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Numbers 23:19, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? Malachi 3:6, "I, the Lord, do not change." And Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." James 1:17, Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. It's important to understand that how God was at the beginning, God is now, and God will forever be. That's how he is. What he says he is who he is. What the Word of God says he is, that's who he is. There is no change to God. The practices change. We'll see that in the next point. But what is important to understand, God does not change. If things have happened in your life that have changed, especially your outlook in what God is, it's not God who changed. It's not God who changes. It's us. Our perspective changes due to what has happened in our lives. And it happens all the time. Things that happen to us will change how we see God. The problem is, God doesn't change. And if it says something about him in the scriptures, that's who he is. And it never changes. God is. I know my point was God was, but how can he was if he is I am? Number two, God spoke. Genesis 1:3, then God said. John 1:1-5, God's word. 1 John 1:1, we have heard. How can we hear if someone has not spoken? Hebrews 1:1, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. It's important to see many times in many ways because God speaks to us. He says in Romans chapter 1 that he, when it comes to people who say that I didn't know there was no God or that there was a God, well, he says they have no excuse because even creation speaks of the glory of God. God speaks through everything. No matter what you are going through, look for God to speak. Well, I should say listen for God to speak. Because God speaks. And you know what? I don't know if I've told this to you before, but you know what? I'm a country fan. You all know that, I think. I listen to country music fairly regularly. Not as much as I have the message on my thing, so the Christian and worship is on quite regularly. But every now and then, I need a refreshment, and so I turn on my country music. Anyways, I was driving from Edmonton. I think Laurel was the only one with me, and I was listening to the message, and they started repeating songs, as they quite often do, and I started getting annoyed with it, so I turned over to the country station. But here's what happened. Just before I changed it, I was in the conversation with God because I was contemplating at that point of going to India. I think it was with Chris on a trip. And I was contemplating this, and I had already felt in the past on this one, on that trip especially, that God was saying, no, you're not going. But I was still wanting to go in myself. And Wapung over there in India he's even asked me within the last week that I go back or go there, and I'm planning on going sometime. But in this particular time, I said, Lord, why can't I go? And as soon as I asked that question, I hit the button to change it to country, and all of a sudden, Lori Morgan was singing on the station, "What part of no don't you understand?" Literally. It was as soon as I hit the button, what part of no don't you understand, you know? So how can I not take that as a sign? How did God know, that's the human side of me, how did God know that at that moment I was going to hit that button? So he timed it perfectly so that that song was playing, so I hit the button, boom. What part of no don't you understand? God speaks to us. Are you listening is the question. God is continually speaking to you. You know, a lot of times people will say, why isn't God answering? Why is it that my prayers are hitting the ceiling and they don't go any further? why don't you open your ears further? Why don't you turn your hearing aid up? That's how I've heard it said. Change the frequency on your radio. There's so many different ways of looking at it that we need to be the one that changes us so that we hear better, so that we understand better. You know, maybe it is that waking up in the middle of the night that God is wanting to speak to you. And the only way that he's able to speak to you is by the fact that you have to go to the bathroom at the time. Why else would you get up? Maybe that's what's happening. I don't know. That's something that you have to determine. But every time that God wakes me up, or every time I wake up in the middle of the night, regardless if it's a bathroom run or not, I ask, hey, God, are you wanting to say something to me today? More often than not, I fall asleep before the answer comes, which would say to me that there isn't anything that he's wanting to particularly say at that moment to me. But there are the times when all of a sudden downloading happens. That's where I get my sermons. This is the middle of the night wake up. All of a sudden, I'm like, hey, God, I'd really like to get some sleep here. Okay, here we go. I don't write it down. I don't know why. Probably because I'm tired. But in the morning, it's there. Even this morning, I woke up and there were some things that for this message that were right there. Why? Because God woke me up, or just before I'm falling asleep, he speaks to me, and then in the morning, I remember it. It's important to understand that God is always talking to you, continually saying things for you. Romans chapter 15, 4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. There is importance to that book that you have in your hand. There is importance to it. If nothing else that you get out of it other than instruction. The scriptures are very important to us. Extremely important. If you are not in the Word, I have to say this from the loving pastor's heart. Shame on you. Shame on you. Because where else are you going to get it? If you are feeding only on Sunday after or morning or almost afternoon, it would be like you are just going to have a chicken dinner on Sunday afternoon, and next week you will have another chicken dinner. If you are not in the Word, that's what you are doing to your spirit. Try to imagine yourself not having anything to eat or drink from now until next Sunday. And my first guess is I wonder how many people would actually be here next Sunday. So if you're doing that to your spirit, what is happening? I do understand that when we have a message on a Sunday, what you are getting is what you need for the moment. And it's like a meal. You know, I ask people, I say, what did I speak on last Sunday? Well, I don't know. Well, fine, you didn't know. But at that moment, you might have needed something that was spoken. And you might not remember what it was, but did you remember what you ate last Sunday? You might. You might not. But it was what you needed for that moment. But again, if last Sunday was the last time you ate, your body needs more nutrition than that. Your spirit needs more nutrition than that. The Word of God is so important. And that's one way that God speaks. 1 Corinthians 10:11, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Through the scriptures, we receive the Word of God. We can hear God speak to us through the Word, but it is more than just the written word. We must also look to the living word, the one whom John calls the word. We must look to Jesus Christ. The best way to do this is through the Bible, through the written word. That's the easiest way to find out who Jesus is to read about him. We use the Old Testament to point to Christ. We use the New Testament as a revelation who Christ is. And Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in the Son of God. But it's even more than that. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals Christ to us. The Holy Spirit reveals to us what God is wanting for us and from us. The Holy Spirit. It's important to understand that. And it's really difficult because there's usually two extremes. There's the one extreme that is all Bible-based. The Word of God. It's so important to have the Word and the knowledge of the Word and the understanding of the Word. And that's what it is, the Word, the Word, the Word. It's great. But then you have the other extreme. It's all about the Spirit. The Spirit tells me this, the Spirit tells me that, the Spirit tells me this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Great, but what about the Word? Those that are in the Word, what about the Spirit? There needs to be balance. You know what? The Spirit is practical. What do you mean? The Spirit might tell you something, but he also understands the concept of the knowledge, the understanding. He understands the physical realm that we live in. I have I've heard a lot from the extreme Pentecostal charismatic circles. The worship will go for hour and a half, more sometimes. It's like, well, the Spirit was leading me that way. Well, then there was one time when we were doing concerts in Vancouver, and the people there, the leaders of the church there, they told us as a group, they said, you have 17 minutes, and once your 17 minutes are done, the lead pastor will come up and take over. And at 17 minutes on the dot, he was on the stage. Those of us who were in college at the time, the super spiritual, said, well, how can you let the Spirit move? And it was amazing. Why? Because the president of our college, who was there and was speaking that day, spoke on God and timing. And that the Spirit understands the realms that we are in. That church was a very business-oriented church. And everybody in there was in suits and the dress to the nines. And everyone there was on a schedule for their entire week. And that's how they did church. And God moved in that place. Why? Because the Spirit understands the natural realm. Now, there is also a place. I noticed this at Gateway Church the other week when we were there. In their worship, they have a set list that they follow. And they have I don't know if anyone of you else noticed this or not, but they actually went out of schedule and they sang a song that wasn't on the list. How did I know this? Because the lead singer was the only one singing or playing. Everyone else just stopped all of a sudden until they realized where it was going and then they joined in. The thing was they were doing where the freedom of the Lord is, or where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. They're doing that song. And so that church also was very scheduled, but they still allowed the Holy Spirit to move, and they went out of schedule for a moment or two. Why? Because the Spirit led. We need to have balance. If we are so stuck on that time. Last week, we went a little bit longer. How many roasts were burnt? I would venture a guess that none. Why? Because first of all, you know this church, that sometimes we go a little longer. Or secondly, the Holy Spirit understands those things and allows things to go on and might even supernaturally touch the meat. Who knows? But he understands the physical realm that we are in. He understands that Pastor Corey can't jump up and down and worship like he wants to. Why? Because I have this physical body. I don't have that one that Craig has. I can't jump up and down. I don't know if you would jump up and down anyways, but whatever. He has more of a body for it than I do. In Beckley, the Pastor Jimmy was our youth leader, and he was just a hair smaller than I was. And one Sunday, all of a sudden, the Spirit got upon him, and he started jumping up and down. And then the Spirit came upon me, and I started jumping up and down. And our choir thought the stage was going to fall through. Seriously, they did. They came up to me. They were like, can you guys just make sure you coordinate? Yes, so that you don't. It's one of those things, like, if the Spirit comes on me, yeah, sure, I'll do it. But it doesn't happen often. Why? Because he understands what this body is. He understands our culture. If your culture is to lift up your hands and shout and praise God, then do it. But if your culture, and I'm talking individually, not the culture of the church, I'm talking individually. If your culture in your individual is not to do those things, then don't. But regardless, praise God. Why I say all those things is that we need a balance between the Word and the Word. It's all the Word. Went off on a tangent, sorry. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit of truth comes and gives us what we need to live. Want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but quite a large portion, so I'll have it on the screen as well. From verse 9, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Let's stop there for just a moment, because that's where a lot of people stop. That no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And we start to think, well, I can't understand God. And so that's where we stop. But then there's a next verse. It says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. So you're right. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can understand what God has prepared for those who love him. But those things are revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. So we can understand. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. I'm going to be a little bit rough on you this morning. If you have just gone through what I have just read, and your mind said, that cannot be, because I can't understand God, then you didn't listen. Because the Word said just right there, you can understand those things. And it said, if you can't understand those things, then you are not spiritual. So I encourage you, if you all of a sudden had problems with the Word of God that I just read, I encourage you from the bottom of my heart, pray to God to be more spiritual. Because that is the importance. That is the importance. That we understand those things. I can guarantee you, you have not arrived to where God has wanted you to be yet. Neither have I. I'm not even close. And you look at, people always look at, and they elevate Paul up and they say, Paul, wow, what a wonderful person. How amazing he was. Yet Paul would say himself, I have not arrived. I am the chief of all sinners. So understand me, we all have a need to become more spiritual. Why? Because we have not gotten to that point where we truly understand God in all things. If you have difficulty with lots of the things that we preach about here, try to grasp that you have not yet, you've not yet arrived, just like I haven't arrived. I don't even understand all these things that I preach. But when I'm preaching them, I'm desiring to understand more, to understand where it is that God has these things. You know, I do say that if you are sick, you can be healed, and God can heal you, and God wants to heal you, and God will heal you. But then there's ones that don't. Why? Because I don't understand God yet. I don't. I'm the first to admit it. I don't understand God. That's when I have a difficulty when people say, that's not how God is. How do you know? How do you know? The Spirit of God reveals these things to us. The only way to get to know who God is and what He's desiring for you is fervent study of the Word. And in all honesty, until someone can come up to me and tell me that they spend 24 hours a day in the Word, until that moment when they tell me I am wrong and that's not how God is, I can look at them and say, are you sure? But you can do the same to me. Why? Because I don't fully understand God yet. So you can come to me and say, are you sure that's who God is? And we can look through the Scriptures and see what it says in here who God is. It's important to understand that, first of all, God is, God was, and that God speaks. And thirdly, God created. Genesis 1:1, God created. John 1:3, God created everything. 1 John 1:2, this one who is life itself. Life being the creation. Psalms 33:9 says, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Throughout our lives, we need to see this same pattern. In the beginning, God was, God spoke, and God created. And I honestly think John purposely put it into his writings. At the beginning of our lives, God was, God spoke, and God created. Galatians 1:15. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace. Isaiah 49:1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God was there at your beginning. He knew you before you were even formed. God spoke. God created. At your salvation, God was there. God spoke through his word. And it cut to the heart. Then God created a new being. So I ask you, if the God of all creation was there at the beginning of the world, and if he was there at the beginning of your life, and if he was there at the beginning of your new life, do you think he's finished with you yet? No matter what situation you are in today, God still is. God still speaks. And God still creates. His creation is newness in your situation, a fulfillment of all of his promises. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What part of that do you need in the situation you're in? I've spoken to you so many times that the cross was not just for salvation. It's for every situation that we go through in our lives. So what thing do you need to pass away in your life and be created into something new? And it's important to understand that. It's important to understand that God is, God speaks, and God creates. That's not everything. Now, there's number four. And this is what came to me this morning after a night of sleep. Wonderful, blessed, peaceful sleep with a wake up in the middle. That said, number four, God completes what he started. Genesis 2:2, on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. God rested after completing creation. John 19:30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Hebrews 1:3 goes on to say, "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, when he said, 'It is finished,' he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven." Hebrews 10:12 goes on to say, "But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. And then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand." Jesus completed the work of redemption and then he rested. It's one reason why I say to you, and I've said it before, and I said I was going to get into a message on it sometime, and I never did. Someday I will. That we are living in God's Sabbath day. Why? Because when he created everything, he said, "It is done. It is good." And then he rested. And Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, he said, "It is done. It is good." And then he rested. And right now he's resting. He's sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you. And so we are right now living in the Sabbath day of rest in God's eyes. Why? Because his creation, first of all, was done and he rested. And his new creation is done. It's done. And now Christ is resting. So what are we supposed to do? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 in the New Living Translation says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." In the Amplified Version, it says this, and I have it on the screen for you, "And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you." He's working on you right now, developing you till that day that you are full in completion. He wants you to be done, to be finished, be able to rest. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Already read this part of it. It says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable to teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And verse 17 says that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Word of God is there. The Word was at the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word is with you now. And He's trying to complete what He's already started in you. But again, I want to read to you from the Amplified. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof, and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to understand that God completed His work and He rested. Jesus completed His work and He rested. And we need to understand that when Jesus said, it is finished, when He said, tetelestai, it's paid in full. We need to rest in the completed work of Christ because He said those words. God was, God is to come. God speaks, God creates, and God completes what He did begin. Let us pray.